Amen. Thank you, Brother David. Appreciate that special there. Appreciate you being out this morning. I hope you and pray that you've already been blessed for being here in the Lord's house. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm thankful to be in the Lord's house this morning. I hope you are as well. And looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. Then, of course, this evening. And I've been praying about the message for this evening. As Christians, or as a Christian, one of my goals in life, in this life, is to be pleasing to the Lord. That would probably be my number one goal, is to be pleasing unto Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That word accepted means to be well-pleasing. I want to be well-pleasing to my Lord and Savior, the one who died for my sins and for your sins. At the end of this life, I want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope that's your goal as Christians. I hope that's what you strive to hear at the end of this life. You strive to hear those words, and that you want to please Him. So I was thinking about this thought the Lord brought to my mind in Hebrews chapter number 11, and verse 5 and 6 is where we're going to be this morning. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated. That means to carry over, to transfer, or to prevent, that word translated there. So by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. What a wonderful thing that could be said about someone, that he pleased God. Now, there in verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible tells us nothing about the early years of Enoch. All we know about Enoch is he, at the age of 65, Enoch became a father to a child by the name of Methuselah. And after Methuselah was born, we're told that Enoch walked with God for the next 300 years of his life. What a wonderful thing to be said. Now, I looked up, I've been studying this for a little bit, and the name Methuselah means this: when he is gone, it will come. What's it? Well, we'll see about that in just a moment. But when he is gone, it will come. If you do the math, you will find that Methuselah died the very year of the flood of Genesis 5, 6 through 8. Enoch was made to understand the death of his son would signal the destruction of the world. That's what his name meant. And God showed him that. At the death of Methuselah, the world was destroyed by way of flood. At the death of God's Son, the world was saved. Isn't that good? We'll see some things here. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. God used the birth of that child to open the heart of Enoch. And God used it to save that man's soul. It would appear that Enoch came to God under the threat of judgment. Now, this is a blessing when you think of and you consider the name Methuselah. May have been a symbol of approaching judgment. Also, it was a symbol of God's long-suffering. And the reason why we say that, is because he lived longer than any human being in this world ever recorded. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 5:27, it says, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. The longest man the oldest man that ever lived on this earth was Methuselah at 969 years. That shows the long suffering of our God. God uses events in life as they think of hell. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. Others react when they think of the love of God as he manifested there on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then there are others who feel guilty because of their sin and are drawn to Jesus. The Bible says in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of the righteousness and of judgment." He will reprove the world of sin. That word reprove means to convict, to show us that we're sinners, to convict us of our sins. That means God uses the means that God uses to convict us of our sin, a person, to draw them to Jesus. That doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that the Holy Spirit draws them to Him. That's what's important. And John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." For Enoch, perhaps it was the birth of his son Methuselah and God's coming judgment. But for me, it was the thought of dying and spending eternity in hell. God convicted me of my sin, and I didn't want to die and spend eternity in hell. The main thing is that the Holy Spirit convicts you, and you see your need for God, and you confess and repent, and He saves you. That's what's important. So what can we learn from this life of Enoch and this life of a man that pleased God? What can we learn? I think there's some things that we can see here in Enoch's life that we need to apply to our lives, because I believe as Christians, our biggest desire should be that we please God. That we please God. You know, what kind of person was Enoch? What inspired him? What motivated him? And I want to share with you three thoughts this morning about this. Enoch, please God. Enoch, please God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, thank you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for this example that you've preserved in the Word of God here that we have. It's demonstrated by the life of Enoch, how he pleased you. Lord, we don't know a lot about his life before 65, but we know after he turned 65 that he walked with you. And God, I pray that folks around this room, Lord, would decide today that they want to walk with you, that they want to please you, that they want to be pleasing in your sight. God, I pray that we would be convicted this morning where we need convicted, comforted where we need comforted, Lord. And if there's one here that doesn't know you, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that comes from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to give you three thoughts this morning, and I don't think it'll be too long, but three thoughts this morning on this thought, Enoch pleased God. Number one, he pleased God by walking with God. By walking with God. Now, there's a lot of people that say that they walk with God, but this is not, when the Bible says here in Genesis 5:22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." We're told in verses 22, Genesis 5:22-24, twice that Enoch walked with God. What a testimony. And this, now this was not Enoch saying this about himself. This was the Holy Spirit saying this about Enoch, that he walked with God. Now, it needs to be more than just me saying, "Oh, I walk with God." It needs to be seen in our lives. It needs to be seen as the Holy Spirit reveals it to people, that we walk with God. God looked at Enoch's life and saw a man whose life pleased the Lord. The Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now notice this, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God." So this tells me that Enoch had faith. We want to be pleasing to God, our walk needs to be a walk of faith. A walk of faith. The word walk here is a biblical expression for fellowship of obedience. You know, we may not understand what God is telling us to do, but we know that we're to do it because the Bible tells us to. And there's obedience. We're to be obedient to the... If we want to have a pleasing walk with God, we must be obedient to Him. And there's things we don't understand. We must do that by faith. Faith is what pleases the God. Pleases our God. It refers to a manner of life that results in a person living in nearness to the Lord. They're close to the Lord. This is the kind of walk that Enoch had with God. It's a kind of walk that Amos refers there in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Hey, we need to walk with God in agreement with Him. Not trying to get Him on our level and say, God, this is what I want, but to get on His level and say, God, I may not understand it, I may not even like it, but I'm going to do what You tell me to do as I obey You in faith. I obey You. It's a walk of dedication and devotion. Folks, we want to be pleasing to God. Well, we need to be dedicated and devoted to walking for the Lord. You know what the Enoch's name actually means? It means this: dedicated. He was dedicated. Dedicated. He was dedicated in his walk for the Lord. This kind of walk that Enoch exhibited is the same kind of walk that we need to have, that we need to exhibit in our lives today, that people, when they see our life, our fellowship, our walk with the Lord, that they say, there's something different about that person. There's something, that person's a Christian. It would seem that Enoch lived a life that demonstrated the faith that was in his heart. You see, he didn't talk one way and live another. He constantly, consistently, and completely walked with God. He walked with God for 300 years. Think about that. If you look at Genesis 5 and find any, look at Genesis 5 sometime and look at any other the people in their lives that done anything so outstanding and remarkable as that they walked with God. Enoch walked with God consistently. Dedicated for 300 years. What an achievement. That's the kind of walk we need today. See, I see that there's so many that are afraid to be visible Christians out there. We should walk consistently with the Lord, whether on the mountaintop or in the lowest of all valleys. We need to walk with the Lord. We should avoid the hot and cold. We should avoid the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs. We should just walk with the Lord in humility and obedience to Him. This is a kind of life that pleases the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself so to walk even as He walked. That's saying, hey, we need to walk as Christ walked on this earth, to be the examples. They were called Christians in Antioch first. Why? Because they acted. They were like little Christians. It was a derogatory term, and saying, oh, look at them little Christians. Look, they're like Christ. And it was meant to be an insult, but can I tell you, one of the greatest compliments is that I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Jesus told His disciples while standing right there in front of them that the Comforter would come and would be in them. And the Comforter, we know, is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. I tell you, when we ignore the Holy Spirit who indwells us, when we walk through our day thinking only of ourselves, like He's not even there, can I tell you we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? When we don't obey the Lord's, the Holy Spirit's leading to do something spiritual, we quench the Holy Spirit of God, because it is He who is speaking to our hearts to pray, to, hey, go and tell that person about the Lord, to do this or to do that or whatever. As we listen to the Holy Spirit, as He puts it upon our heart to do something, and we don't do it, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we quench the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live by faith and to be pleasing to the Lord. Can I tell you, there's nothing in you, there's nothing in me outside the Holy Spirit of God, outside the Lord, that will make us do right. The flesh is at enmity with the Spirit. Okay, if we had it our ways, I can tell you, if you had it your way, none of us would be here today. Why? Because by nature we're lazy. By nature we don't want to have things to do with God. That's our nature, but we've been saved. We've been born again, and that's what brings us into that Holy Spirit's what convicts us and tells us, hey, we need to be in church. And when our spirit is in agreement with His Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit gives us a power to live by faith and thus being pleasing to the Lord. I want to tell you something. Those there's some so-called Christians that think that they can walk with God and live for the devil throughout the week. Can I tell you, that's not pleasing to God. That's not pleasing to God. When you think, you have this thought, well, I go to church every time the church doors are open, but when I'm not at church, I just live for whoever I want to, do whatever I want. That's not pleasing to God. The Bible says this in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. As a result of Enoch's walk, his testimony pleased the Lord. Can I ask you this morning, does your testimony please the Lord? Does your testimony please the Lord? Does your walk please the Lord? I'm talking about people that say, hey, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, it starts with your walk. How's your walk? How's your fellowship with the Lord? How's your testimony with the Lord? The Bible says here in Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He walked with God. And I want you to notice number two, he pleased God by witnessing for God. By witnessing for God. In Jude 1:14-15, it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This passage tells us that Enoch was a prophet. And he was a prophet and he preached to the people of his generation. What was he doing? He was witnessing. I believe that, folks, we need to have a walk with the Lord, but we need to be witnessing for the Lord. We need to be telling our generation about the Lord, telling them about the ungodly deeds and being bold in proclaiming the truths of God's Word. You see, he preached about the coming judgment and of the need for repentance. He was a hard preacher with a hard message. Hey, I can tell you this, today they don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that. Why is our society, why is our world in such a bad position today? Because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that they're walking in sin and that they're living for the devil. They don't want to hear those things. They don't want to hear that homosexuality is a sin. It's a way of life. No, it's a sin. Just like lying is a sin before you get too high on your high horse there. Just like cussing and doing all those other things. Listen to me, that's sin. And listen, folks, if we don't repent of our wickedness, we're not going to be pleasing to God. We say we're pleasing to God, but we want to live for the world and live for the things of this world. That's not pleasing to the Lord. Enoch proclaimed the second coming of Christ. You know what we need to be telling people about the second coming of Christ? It says there in verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, now notice this, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He proclaimed the second coming of Christ. But also I see that Enoch proclaimed the judgment of false teachers. I tell you, there's a lot of false teachers out there today. I'm trying to tell you there's many ways to get to heaven. Send me this amount of money, send me this, and I'll send you a prayer cloth and all this, these different things. Folks, there's only one way to heaven, and that Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look there in verse 15 of Jude. It says, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that there are ungodly among them, that are of all their ungodly deeds, which have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We find Enoch preaching a hard message for a hardened people. As you and I pass through this world, we need to do so with the gospel on our lips. Now, can I tell you, the gospel isn't, it's bold. And there's some people that's going to turn away from it.
Not everybody's going to accept what you have to say. As we heard Larry Neff said last week, he said that man that he was witnessing to, a just brand new Christian, Brother Neff was, and he was giving this guy a track and smiled because that's all he knew what to do. He didn't know how to tell him about the Lord. All he knew what to do was to smile and hand a track out. That guy came out and spit in his face. Not everybody's going to accept what you have to say because, let me tell you, the gospel's a divider. They don't want to hear the truth. As we pass through this world, we need to do so with the gospel on our lips. We must live out the truth, but we must also be careful to tell others about Jesus Christ, His death, and of what He can do in their lives. You know, it's Him that has changed me. And if there's any good about you, it's because of what God has done in your life. It's Him that has changed us. See, we are commanded to witness there in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The Bible says to go to every creature, preach the gospel to every creature. But you know, the thing of it is the Holy Spirit will equip us to witness. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We need to get busy being a visible and a vocal witness for the Lord. Now, some of us may, if you're here and you're ashamed of the Lord, you need to get right with God. That's not pleasing to Him. Don't be ashamed of Him. Be a visible, vocal witness for the glory of God. There's a dying world that needs to hear what God has to say. Let's tell them why we have an opportunity. Then number three, I want you to notice the last thing. He pleased God and he went with God. Notice there in Genesis 5:24 it says, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. For God took him. What God took Enoch was He took him away from this evil world and the presence of sin. Can I tell you, in heaven there's no presence of sin. There's no presence. He took Enoch from destruction and wrath. Enoch is a type. Sin is something that will die with this world. And it has, you know, sin has its world, this world, and those who belong to the world in its evil grasps. And it won't let go. I read of a native, a South American tribe. They would catch monkeys. And how they catch monkeys is they would get this coconut and they'd cut a hole in it. And they put as they cut the hole in it, they would put berries inside the hole. And what those monkeys would do is those monkeys would run over to that coconut. They would stick their hands in there. They would grab the berries. And then when they clenched their fists to get the berries out, they couldn't get their hands out. They wouldn't. That's how they caught the monkeys. Sin has its clutches on this world. You know what? We've got our hands inside the coconut, and we're not smart enough to let go of the berries. That's all we got to do. Let go of the things of this world. We can escape the wrath to come. Sin has its clutches on this world, and when it passes away with a fervent heat, so will sin. Enoch was taken away to a place where sin cannot follow, and as believers, he's a type of us. He's a type of us. Let me ask you, do you struggle? Are you often grieved in your spirit because you recognize how far short you fall of what you think you really should be for Christ? Do temptations surround you? Do addictions hound you? Past sins continue to play on your conscience, and you cannot seem to find rest for very long before you know it, you're back into it. Jesus is going to take you. If you're a Christian, He's going to take you to a place where sin cannot follow. And he is going to take you there before the tribulation, before the destruction to come, because you're in Christ. I find it interesting that the only quote we have from Enoch's prophecies recorded in the scriptures refer to the second coming of the Messiah. And he is a type. As a type of the church, he makes reference to the church. Listen to what he says. The Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones. This is a picture of the coming Christ followed by all his saints at the Battle of Armageddon as recorded in John. Revelation 19. Listen to this. In verse 11 he says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in the heavens followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness of the and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." See, before this scene, you know what happens? Before this scene, there was much suffering. And there was destruction as God's wrath is poured out on this world in tribulation. But let's talk about when God took Enoch, what it means for us. The Word of God is quite emphatic, I believe, that there is a coming day of judgment. Folks, listen to me. There's coming a day of judgment. We think, the world thinks they're getting away with their sins. They think, let's live life and be merry and all that. There's coming a day of judgment. As revealed in the life of Enoch, which pictures the rapture before the judgment in the flood. The Bible says, as it appointed unto man wants to die, after this, the judgment. The Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture. Now that's a big word, okay? Pre-tribulation rapture. What do you mean by that? Before the tribulation period, that's 7 years of tribulation, before that time, the church will be raptured up. Those that are saved in Christ, listen, we're going to be out of here. Just as Enoch, listen to me, just as Enoch was translated, folks, we're going to be translated from this world to another. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." They're talking about those that have already been, that have already passed on. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words." I tell you, that's comforting words to me, knowing that this is not my home. This is not my home. However, just as it's recorded in the book of Genesis, there will be following after that time when the Lord takes us out of here, there's going to be a 7 years of tribulation. 7 years of tribulation. You say, what's that? It's going to be worse than what it is now. This ain't even a drop in the bucket. It's going to be bad. Saying, "Pastor, you're trying to scare me?" No, I'm just trying to inform you. There's coming 7 years of tribulation. That's called the tribulation period. Let me ask you, the Lord's coming back. Are you ready? As the Lord comes back, and it could be today. It could be today. The Lord could rapture his church out of here today. He could. Are you walking with God? when he comes, are you going to be pleased that he's here? Are you going to be pleased? Are you going to be excited that he's here? Can I tell you this, that if you're not walking with God, you're not going to be excited that he comes back. You're not going to be excited. Are you witnessing for the Lord? Let me ask you the final thing. Will you be with God? When he comes, will you go with him? If you're not walking with God, begin a walk today. Start walking for him. A testimony that you're pleasing to God. If you're not witnessing for God, make a commitment today that you want to start living for him. You want to start witnessing for him. You want to start telling people about the Lord. Just as Brother Neff said, I didn't know a whole lot to say, but I grabbed a track and I would smile and give a track out. Now, that's not too appealing to see for him to say, yeah, someone spit in my face, but can I tell you this? God knows it all and he sees it all. God will bless you for it, your faithfulness. I ask you, if you're not sure that you'll be with him, today's the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What is your life but a vapor that appeareth for a short season and then vanisheth away? Are you ready? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you witnessing for him? And when he comes, will you go with him? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.